said when they were talking about that. He said, if the King James was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us.
There we go.
Amen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't
know. I've got one similar to that. A friend of mine whose dad was a longtime Baptist preacher, and he started reading from a more modern translation, and a lady came up to him after church and said, I want you to go back to the one the Apostle Paul used like you used to.
But, you know, I would be, and I don't know what the Baptists are using anymore, but I don't think you could say the majority of Baptist churches use King James anymore. I don't know that.
I don't know.
I don't even know what they all are, Revised Standard, and I don't even know what they
now,
are.
Now, this is King James Version, and it notes that the words of Christ are in red.
Which is what you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to stumble around and quote Jesus with not realizing it.
Yeah, yeah, not realize it there. So,
well, you mentioned sword drills. Of course, we used to have the, we would have, how was it divided up into associations? You had associations. We'd have association contests with sword drills, and there were some things that were even harder than sword drills. Maybe you had to do public speaking.
I remember
something.
The association contest,
yeah,
though.
It was a big
and
deal.
And you could go on and advance to the state contest. And, you know, we both went to the funeral recently of Mr. Bob Holly,
right?
Who was head of what was then called Training Union,
yeah,
for the state. That's where the sword drill all took place.
Yeah.
So Mr. Holly probably knew more about sword drills, yeah, than anybody in Arkansas, if I had to guess.
Well, I told you that it was really nostalgia for me to set. The singing was what I remembered, and all the guys that talked were all, you know, Baptist
and
preachers,
all worked for the Arkansas Baptist State Convention.
They all had
for
that
many years.
Voice and style that I was grew up with. It sounded like Brother J.C. Smith at the First Baptist Church in Bone, every one of them. And, of course, I asked several of them if they knew my Uncle Conway, who worked there at the Baptist building. And, of course, they did. And it was actually a great service with beautiful, beautiful songs. You know, you attend Catholic Mass as I do.
Mm-hmm.
The singing's not quite the same.
No,
at the Catholic
it's
Church.
Not. It's a little bit different.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, the good trade-off is that most Catholic churches, that homily only lasts about 5 minutes
instead
of the old 30-minute Baptist
yeah,
service.
Or 45.
Yeah, now any Baptist preacher worth his salt is going to go at least 30 minutes,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got to go 30. And I've been in funerals where they had an opportunity to be saved, you know, altar call,
oh, absolutely,
if you needed
in
it.
In the funeral, yeah.
Now, we didn't this time. They were a little more professional, I would say, at that point. But,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I've had that happen several times. In fact, at Jan's mother's funeral, Miss Gervasini, the young boy, I want to say, son, we're trying to get out of here, and we don't need to have altar call or pass the plate, please.
Yeah.
Well,
I've got my Bible with us if we want to get into a little reading and so forth. As I think I've told you before, you know, I started working at the mighty 1240 KVRC AM when I was in high school, and I would often get the Sunday morning shift, and the thing is that the preachers who had recorded programs on there, they had to pay in advance. So several of them, because I could lock it in a little drawer when they would bring it, would take the cash directly out of the plate, and they would drive up and pay for the next Sunday on Sunday afternoon. So about around 1 o'clock or so, I'd expect a couple of cars to come up, and they would pay for their airtime for the next Sunday afternoon.
The biscuits first, and then save some for the dressing. But we had the next morning, we had cold biscuits with fresh fried country ham.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
That sounds
great.
Oh,
it was fantastic.
Well, I'm taking back to Gene's talking about the next morning. He told us, he said, boys, I'm glad there's a little of that left. My favorite breakfast is squirrel and gravy. The thing is, he was telling the truth,
yeah,
I think.
That's what he's going to have.
Yeah, a little squirrel with some cream gravy on top for breakfast.
You don't get
that's
fried squirrel.
That's a true Arkansan, yeah.
You don't get fried squirrel.
Not just anywhere.
Not just anywhere.
Not just anywhere.
All. But that reminds me, not to digress, but
we've never done that on this show.
Rex, I may need your help on this. You know, sometimes you need friends to kind of help you off the ledge. And there was something happened during the holidays that I don't know if I'm going to be able to deal with it. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I have an issue with rodents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I told Jan when we got married, I said, I'm a traditional person. I believe the husband's role is to protect the wife. So if it's murderers, thieves, robbers, ne'er-do-wells, yeah, cockroaches, snakes, yeah, I got you.
But if a mouse comes in here, I'm running.
You're on your own. I cannot deal with it. And it's even, I've mentioned this to people, and they don't believe me, but I suggest you read your history. It's even in the hieroglyphics about rats running up the past legs of the pharaohs. You've just got to be careful.
You never know.
So it's an issue. And I, you know, I'm always, you know, remember the movie 1984, Orwell's novel.
Oh, yes.
They finally brainwashed him, putting in a room full of rats. Oh, my God. I don't even walk down the aisle in the store where they're selling Decon rat poisoning. I don't like Mickey
Mouse.
It's an issue, to say the least. So the garage was open at the house, and I walked out, and sitting on top of the car, on top of Jan's car, was a cat. Obviously someone's cat. I'd seen it around before, had a collar, and it was sitting on top of the car. And I thought, oh, now get out of here, little cat. And then I thought, why was the cat there? Has he seen a rat in my garage and he's waiting on it? Well, now I can't. I'm freaking out every
time I go out.
Open the door at night and throw something make sure the rats are scurrying out of the way. Jan's laughing at me. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to deal with it. Maybe we need to get another cat.
Have you actually seen a rat?
No, okay. I haven't seen a rat.
This is totally irrational then.
You don't often see them. That's the point. They'll get you. Jan said, well, maybe it's a chipmunk. No, it's not a chipmunk. I know what a chipmunk is.
Yeah.
They're not mean and dangerous. Rats are dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't even like Mickey Mouse.
I think the cat was just hanging out there.
Looking for some garbage,
place
perhaps.
To be. Yep.
Okay, let's go with that.
Yeah, I think you need to sleep well. I don't think you have a rat.
Now, someone has said, Paul, you're so weird about the rodents. Why do you eat squirrels? Well, squirrels are not rats.
No, they're
not. That's completely different. That's a game sport, a game.
They are.
Yeah.
It's like rabbits.
The Lord gave us squirrels to eat.
That he did.
Rats come from the devil.
I think
that's in the Bible, isn't it?
I'm glad you haven't actually seen one. Now, as I make the transition from rats back to food somehow, I was going to tell you, you talk about making Miss Eudora's eggnog. One of my Christmas gifts Christmas morning from my sons, Paul, I didn't even realize you could buy it. Do you know you can buy the famous Capitol Hotel eggnog?
No.
In an actual glass bottle.
Little Rock Capitol?
Yes, in a glass bottle. Yeah.
No.
They had bought me Capitol eggnog, yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. It's long gone, as you can imagine. But it is.
No, I did not know that.
Yes.
Buy it at the hotel.
Yeah, they bought it at the hotel. Yeah. Went to the hotel. And so you
love
can,
eggnog.
So you know for next holiday season.
Not everybody likes eggnog. I love eggnog.
Yeah. Well, I'm such a traditionalist. You know, my column runs Wednesdays in the Democrat Gazette, and I always try to write about food on the column before Christmas. So the Wednesday before Christmas, I wrote about, you know, there's always going to be lots of pecans at my house. There's going to be grapefruit because that's just Christmas tradition. But I've always liked to mention for us old-timers who grew up reading Richard Allen in the Arkansas Gazette that Richard would always write about the famous Helena oyster loaf.
Yes.
And so my phone rings on my desk the morning that ran. It was Carol Allen. Richard's wife.
Sure.
And she first thanked me for mentioning Richard every year and said, I've been wanting to call. But let me know that the Allen family, there's still some of them that live over in Mississippi, none left in Helena anymore.
Yeah.
And they still have the oyster loaf on Christmas Eve. Now, that, if you remember reading Richard, that was a Christmas Eve dish.
Christmas Eve, yeah.
Not Christmas Day.
Well, so I read that when you wrote about it. And I remember that column when it came out. And to me, it's all real doable. It's the lemon part that it seems wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure you could get close to it at a good bakery, but he called the loaf a Pullman loaf.
Pullman loaf, which I never heard
like
that.
It looked like a Pullman, I guess, train car. Yeah. But a Pullman loaf. But you could get a good loaf of bread, cut the top off, then you hollow it out.
Hollow it out, get some fried oysters.
You fry oysters on the side, you fill it up, and then you put the lemon. He has a special kind of pickle.
Right.
I guess other
mustard
pickles could
pickle,
work. Mustard
it.
Pickle, yeah. And actual mustard, right?
And mustard
went in there too.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then you put the top back on and rewarm it.
And you toasted the inside of it before you put the stuff in, put it back together, and then put that in the oven and roasted that a little bit.
And then you
slice it.
Yeah.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
It does sound good, actually. Yeah.
We may have to try that. Now, the lemon thing, I kept you know, even if you bake a lemon, it's still going to be eating the rind. But, you know, I've had shaker lemon pie that you would slice the whole lemon, rind and all, but so very thin that by the time it cooked, it was okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe you just spit the rind out.
Maybe that's why you chewed
up. Some lemon rind. Yeah.
In the spittoon.
Spit it on your plate. Yeah. There's not anybody
now,
who...
Now, there are some people that thought Richard maybe was like pulling our leg. You see how many fools would go out there and try to make
a Helen Oyster Loaf. But no. Carol confirmed that there are still, again, members of the Allen family that are having the traditional Helena Oyster Loaf over in Mississippi every Christmas Eve. So,
well, not,
maybe
not
that's
to,
a future road trip for us.
Not to toot your horn too much, but, you know, someone else had read, what was it? They had read your, wrote about, I think it's Gene doing the Fiddlers, and somebody showed up from Gene's.
Yes, Fiddlers being small whole catfish that you catch whole. And those were always my grandfather and Des Arc's favorite. And I've said on this show before, we would go down to the fish market, which Gene told us had closed in Des Arc, open for decades. But I would walk down. It was at the time when I was a boy, Haley's Fish Market on Main Street. And my grandfather would say, see if they got any of those Fiddlers. And those weren't the big catfish. Those were the little ones that you could fry and eat whole. Well, Gene's is one of the few restaurants I know anywhere that still has Fiddlers and advertises them as such on the menu. So the day that column ran that I talked about Fiddlers and the fact that Gene had them, he said two ladies had driven all the way from Conway. That's a pretty good drive for dinner. Conway all the way back over.
Didn't they serve Fiddlers at one of the catfish places in Garland? One of those, I think, had Fiddlers.
Yeah.
Is it Garland? What is the town?
Garland City.
Uh-huh,
yeah. Right on the Red River. Yeah.
I think one of those advertised Fiddlers.
Exactly. May have to get those next year because we are going back to the Emerson
Absolutely. It's become a thing now.
We are now regulars. And in fact, you know, I guess due to this show, we were such celebrities, we were able to go into the big RV and off for a little while before the actual competition.
The command
correct?
Center.
Yes,
the command center. Headquarters, they call it.
And that's where the two guys that basically do the play-by-play on the PA system, they were in there getting ready.
Now, that RV was not new, I would say.
No, it was not.
new. And it was, let me just say that you didn't want to flush.
Like,
I don't think so.
But it was cooler than outside.
Was it
about 105 that day were down there?
And the old boy that was the past champion came in, had a sleeveless shirt on, looking for a cigarette. I'd have smoke in there. Lord. But
we will get Fiddlers at Garland down in Southwest
Arkansas.
That sounds
good
next year.
I don't know the last time I had Fiddlers.
It's Garland. Some people call it Garland City, though. Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing we cooked this during the break was this thing called the Mississippi Roast. Have you heard of this?
Mm.
So you do it in a crock pot. Now, the purists would just roll their eyes, but you just take a big 3 or 4 pound chuck roast.
Chuck roast, okay.
Just plain. Put it
and
in the
put
bottom
it in the
crock
pot.
And lay on top, just lay it on top, a full stick of butter, and then sprinkle. You don't have to, like, cover everything, but just dump on top of the butter a package of Hidden Valley Ranch dressing mix, you know, the powder.
Oh, yeah.
And a package of...
Anything's good with ranch dressing on it.
And a package of the au jus powder mix, and just dump that in. And that's all. You don't add any other water. It's just roast, butter, and these two powder mixes. And 6 hours later, oh, my God.
It was good.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's just fantastic. The New York Times ran an article where they said, well, you don't want to do the packaged mixes. You need to make your own. No, you don't make your own. You want the package.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. It costs $1.99. Probably not even that. 97 cents. And Josh, I told Josh about it. He made it Sunday, and called it, this is the best roast I've ever had. Plus, it's real easy. So we had that.
Well, we both ate well. And,
yes, we did.
You know, in most places, January is where you say, well, you eat well during the holidays, you got to cut back. But, of course, January in Arkansas means both the Gillette Coon Supper and the Slovak Oyster Supper.
Yeah.
Two of the great annual events in the state.
Which are great places to eat.
Both fall in the month of January, yeah.
Slovak is dangerous. It's just mounds of fried oysters and all of the
raw
you
ones you can eat, yeah.
Our friend, the last time we went, our friend Joe Purvis
from Hope.
I think he had originally 12 empty cups of Foresters. He was still there when we left.
Yeah, he was going back for more, I think. Yeah, we're going to have to sit across from Joe this year when we go down.
I'll tell you another.
I have contacted my man, and our tickets are secure.
We don't want to tell anybody where we meet.
Yes, exactly. Now, again, we've warned people on this show before, and we ought to do it again.
Yeah.
You don't just show up in Slovak thinking you're going to buy a ticket, right? This is a sold-out event every year.
You have to have a connection.
Yeah.
Because they're not selling them at the gate.
Nope.
at all.
At all.
And if you don't get there early, we always get there early enough that we don't have to stand in line.
Right? Yeah.
If you get there by 5:30 or 6, you're in line forever. There's pee, there's drinking going on, and it might even be a fight, even though they don't allow that. One time, he's not coming back.
Yep.
But, you know, the line to get in goes through the beer tent, so
yeah,
some of it.
Well, it's a Knights of Columbus event, that's right. A little extra money that we're making for the KCs.
It's a community service.
A great Arkansas event.
Now, there probably won't be as many politicians there this time.
No, it's not an election year, so probably won't. I will hope the governor will make it just to say he did, because it's just, in my book, one of those must-attend events here in the state of Arkansas.
It really is, and hopefully the weather will... we'll do good. Now, Rex, I had some interesting gifts for Christmas. I got, of course, I like books, and I got Anthony Bourdain's cookbook, which is a great
interesting
cookbook. Really good.
Yeah.
Nice narrative. He's a good writer. But I was thinking about favorite cookbooks, and, you know, we saw Julia Reed talk down here.
Yep.
She's got a great cookbook.
Oh, yeah. I've got a copy. Yeah.
Something his mother puts vodka in the sangria or something. But it's a great cookbook.
Uh-huh.
Really a first-class one.
Julia grew up just across the river from Arkansas, of course, in Greenville, Mississippi, where her father Clark still lives.
So I got the traditional things, but I got a late gift that may be a life changer. I'm not sure, but it's looking that way. I got it this Saturday, Amazon. And, you know, Jan and I are not on the same page temperature-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's hot, I'm freezing.
You've told me that.
It's not a good situation. So... arrived on the door by Amazon Saturday was a big box, and in it was a heated throw. Plug it in, it's got control, and lay on the couch and watch a ball game with this heated throw. It's fantastic.
You really have reached old man status now, Paul, I've got to tell you.
It gets worse. Also was a heated mattress pad.
Oh, my goodness.
Rex, we now have a heated mattress pad on our bed with dual controls. And you turn that baby on about an hour before you go to bed and
just
get
warm
in
your
there.
Back up.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Read a cookbook, maybe eat a little. Now, I don't guess I can drink because it might electrocute me, so I'll have to quit drinking in bed, I guess.
Exactly. Now, before you talk about drinking and stuff like this, I want you to realize I'm carrying this Bible not because I've gone back to my old Baptist roots and I'm about to start preaching, even though I could fire it open
probably
and good.
Yeah.
You know, a little sword drill here. Yeah. Here we go, Matthew 23.
Yeah.
But we had a little swearing in ceremony and needed the Bible to put my hand on. But this was my mother, who passed away about a year and a half ago at the age of 90. This was her Bible. And I'm not sure people do this anymore, but it's got all the births and deaths recorded in it, you noticed, in the front of it.
Yeah.
So you kind of track your family roots a bit.
I have my grandfather's Bible and my sister has dad's, but I have the Bible that I was given, and I don't know what the occasion was. Something happened at some age at the church. They bought you a Bible. Maybe you graduated to the junior class or something. I can't remember what the occasion was.
Now, the Gideons used to come to elementary schools. I don't guess they would allow that anymore.
I think they would do that anymore.
And they would give little New Testaments.
Yeah.
Do you remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Little red
ones. Mm-hmm. This Bible, though, was, you know, it was a nice Bible. It wasn't a hardback. But one of my duties, because we live next door to the church, was to ring the bell. The First Baptist Church, I guess it's still there, had a great old big bell like the Liberty Bell, and I'd get out there and ring it for church. And so I did that one morning and put my Bible up there and forgot about it, and it stayed there all week, rang three times. And so I've still got the Bible, and it's, you know, the pages all swelled up real large, and it looked really weird. But, you know, it was probably got that 51... maybe 1960 or 57.
Now, of course, my mother would not have anything but the old King James Version. Now, back in the 60s, when you really start seeing some of these more modern versions, translations coming out. Did people at First Baptist in Bone just think that was wrong?
Brother O.H. McCamey said, when they were talking about that, he said, if the King James was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us.
There we go.
Amen. But, you know, I've
got one similar to that. A friend of mine whose dad was a longtime Baptist preacher, and he started reading from a more modern translation, and a lady came up to him after church and said, I want you to go back to the one the Apostle Paul used like you used to.
But, you know, I would be, and I don't know what the Baptists are using anymore, but I don't think you could say the majority of Baptist churches use King James anymore. I don't know that.
I don't know.
I don't even know what they all are. Revised Standard, and I don't even know what they
are.
Now,
this is King James Version, and it notes that the words of Christ are in red.
Which is what you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you don't want to stumble around and quote Jesus with not realizing it.
Yeah, not realize it there. So,
well, you mentioned sword drills. Of course, we used to have how was it divided up into associations? You had associations. We'd have association contests with sword drills, and there were some things that were even harder than sword drills. Maybe you had to do public speaking.
I remember the association contest, though.
It was a big
deal.
And
you could go on and advance to the state contest. And, you know, we both went to the funeral recently of Mr. Bob Holly,
right?
Who was head of what was then called Training Union for the state. That's where the sword drill all took place. Yeah. So Mr. Holly probably knew more about sword drills than anybody in Arkansas, if I had to guess.
Well, I told you that it was really nostalgia for me to sit. The singing was what I remembered. And all the guys that talked were all, you know, Baptist preachers.
They all worked for the Arkansas Baptist State Convention
for
many years.
They all had that voice and style that I was... grew up with. It sounded like Brother J.C. Smith at the First Baptist Church in Bone, every one of them. And, of course, I asked several of them if they knew my Uncle Conway, who worked there at the Baptist building. And, of course, they did. And it was actually a great service with beautiful, beautiful songs. You know, you attend Catholic Mass as I do. Mm-hmm. The singing's not quite the same.
No, it's not. It's a little bit different.
A little bit different. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, the good trade-off is that most Catholic churches, that homily only lasts about 5 minutes instead of the old 30-minute Baptist service.
Or 45.
Yeah, now any Baptist preacher worth his salt is going to go at least 30 minutes,
You got to go 30. And I've been in funerals where they had, an opportunity to be saved, altar call if you needed it.
In the funeral, yeah.
Now, we didn't this time. They were a little more professional, I would say, at that point. But I've had that happen several times. In fact, at Jan's mother's funeral, Miss Gervasini, the young boy, I want to say, son, we're trying to get out of here, and we don't need to have altar call or pass the plate, please.
Yeah. I've got my Bible with us if we want to get into a little reading and so forth. As I think I've told you before, I started working at the Mighty 1240 KVRC AM when I was in high school, and I would often get the Sunday morning shift. And the thing is that the preachers who had recorded programs on there, they had to pay in advance. So several of them, because I could lock it in a little drawer when they would bring it, would take the cash directly out of the plate. And they would drive up and pay for the next Sunday on Sunday afternoon. So about around 1 o'clock or so, I'd expect a couple of cars to come up, and they would pay for their airtime for the next Sunday afternoon.
It used to be, and maybe it still is, Mother's doesn't do this anymore, but at one time she was responsible for taking the tapes down to the cable company in Portia so they could run the video of the service there at First Baptist Church. And I thought, well, that's changed a lot when I was a little boy. Of course, I maintain that it hadn't been the same since they changed into the new church, which was built in 1974, and got air conditioning.
Well, my favorite was we actually had a female pastor in those days of the First Pentecostal Church of Gurdon. And she had her own program over there, and she was... really after draft dodgers and hippies in those days for the term she would use. So those were interesting programs. I wish I still had some around. But for live programming now, Paul, in a small town, you had to alternate. So we would alternate. The First Baptist Church would run from 11 to 12 one week, and the First Methodist Church would actually run the next week. So it just depended on.
Well, y'all have always been very ecumenical down there in Arkadelphia. What is the deal on the road signs? If you're going north, it says Henderson State.
Well, yeah. You've got to, you know, that rivalry. And notice this sometime if you're driving down Interstate 30, coming one direction on the road sign, next exit, Henderson State University and Ouachita Baptist University, Henderson's on top. Coming the other direction, Ouachita's on top. But the big sign, then there are smaller signs after you get off on the exit, and those are just the opposite. So anyway, westbound, Ouachita will be on top of maybe the big sign and on the bottom of the little sign, and vice versa if you're coming eastbound.
Obviously, somebody
had
an issue.
Everybody happy.
And
yeah.
Once somebody got a call, and the county judge said, okay, we're going to solve this right here.
Now, this is the State Highway Department. Yeah. I mean, these are official signs.
It's a big issue.
They realize, you know, there are politics involved here. And I'm sure the commissioner, at the time, for whoever that part of the state was, realized we've got to split this thing up.
Now, at Imboden, we had joint community-wide Easter sunrise service.
Oh, okay.
Methodist, Baptist, I think the Assembly of God joined. I'm not sure the Church of Christ ever did, but.
You've been listening to Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cows. That's Rex Nelson, head of corporate communications for Simmons Bank and writer of the food blog Southern Fried. And Paul Austin, executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council. To hear this and other great Chewing the Fat episodes in their entirety, subscribe to the Chewing the Fat podcast at cows.org/podcasts.
Receiving flowers has always been a joy, but how much greater the pleasure when the flowers themselves carry special meaning? With the help of our special guest expert, Shirley Pratt, come learn the language of flowers and make your own scented bouquet to present to that special person in your life just in time for Valentine's Day. Our free program will be at noon on January 30th in the main library. Call 501-918-3035 for more information. Visit cows.org for information about all Cows has to offer.
Arkansas Sounds presents a special screening of the 40th anniversary edition of Martin Scorsese's iconic film, The Last Waltz, on Friday, January 27th at 7 p.m. Relive or experience for the first time the band's historic 1976 farewell concert in the state-of-the-art Cal's Ron Robinson Theater. Fans can rock out to performances not featured in the original film and celebrate a moment in history featuring two Arkansas music legends, Levon Helm and Ronnie Hawkins. Tickets are $5. To purchase tickets, please visit arkansasounds.org or the Butler Center Galleries.
Radio Cows is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, visit cows.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Voices by Jasmine Jobe and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Brett Ratliff, Michael Stotz, and Anna Lancaster. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 Little Rock.